Good afternoon. On behalf of Walt Harrison, President of the University of Hartford, who's out of state on business, I welcome you all, those of you who are students, faculty, and staff here 5 or 7 days a week. Welcome to this location. To those of you who are from outside the university, welcome. We're very honored and privileged for today's very special event. It's my privilege to turn over the duties of the podium to Ed Hanlon. Ted?
Good afternoon. My name is Ted O'Hanlon, and I'm proud to be here to introduce Ned Lamont, who 2 weeks from today will be the junior senator from Connecticut. I'm a lawyer from downstate, and I hope you won't hold either of those facts against me. I'm also a retired Navy captain with 5 years active duty, 18 years in the reserves. And I'm here to remind you, like any veteran would in my shoes, that this country's most valuable defense asset is the men and women who wear this country's uniform. And I believe, and I see there are a number of veterans here in the crowd, and I hope the students will take time to talk with them when this is over today. But I believe our leaders have a duty to safeguard that asset and not to squander it. And that includes the President of the United States and the Senate. Those of you mindful of history will note that this week marks the 23rd anniversary of a horrific incident that happened when I was on active duty. And that was the explosion in the Marine barracks in Beirut, Lebanon. 240 Marines were killed by a suicide bomber. That incident led to a resolve that was later articulated in what was called the PAL doctrine, not to put troops in harm's way except under circumstances that were coldly and carefully scrutinized to ensure that true national interests were served. And I believe, as many veterans with me believe, that our government, the Bush administration, and our Senate, in its policies in Iraq and Afghanistan, have ignored these lessons and violated these duties. I believe our national security and our state of readiness is all the weaker for it. I believe that Senator Lieberman has failed to do what a senator should do in these times, and especially in ensuring that our troops are safeguarded and used as judiciously as possible. That is why I support Ned Lamont. Ned Lamont sought this office to ask the questions that should have been asked for the last 5 years by senators. He has had the courage to take on an 18-year sitting senator to ask the very questions that should have been asked all along. Why are we at war? Is it in our interest to be at war? How are we fighting this war? Has our fighting been effective? How could our fighting be more effective? Is it worth the cost in lives? Is it worth the cost in treasure? Are we more safe for it? Are we more safe in fighting terror? Are we more safe in preventing nuclear proliferation? Has it affected our stature as a moral leader in the world? These are questions that our sitting senator should have been asking for the last 4 years. Read the New York Times today. Look at the state of what Iraq is in and the cost of what it's been to the American people. We need change. We need Ned Lamont. No one can question, after 10 months of a grueling campaign, from Ned who to negative Ned, that this man is in this for the right reason, and that's to serve us, the citizens of Connecticut, and in a larger basis, this country. No one can question his enthusiasm, his creative approach, his drive to succeed, or his determination. Ned Lamont is a man who will look you in the face, hear what you're thinking, and tell you what he's thinking. I urge you to come up to him afterwards and talk to him. But most of all, I'm proud to introduce Ned Lamont, my friend and the next senator from Connecticut.
Hello, University of Hartford. I am delighted to be here. As I was telling Mr. Carson, this place brings back very good memories for me. I haven't spent a lot of time in the political world, but that doesn't mean concerned citizens can't stand up and be counted. I did spend some time starting up a business. We were building cable systems for college campuses. And one of the first campuses that gave my company an opportunity was University of Hartford. And if any of you are ever thinking about starting up a business, you go around, you go to that delicatessen, you go to that diner, and you see that dollar bill that's sort of taped to the wall, and you kind of go, how corny can that be? That was University of Hartford for me. You guys gave me that start. I love you. I'm very pleased to be introduced by my good friend, Ted O'Hanlon. Ted is a student of history. Ted is a Navy veteran. Ted is a great friend of mine. We would not be in this mess in Iraq if Ted O'Hanlon had anything to say about it. He's a proud Navy veteran. Not positive he can still squeeze in that uniform today, but I'm proud that he's here, and I'm proud to have all the veterans here. And I reiterate what Ted said. I think the students and the veterans, let's have a conversation as we keep going. But look, I just wanted to say something a little more serious as well. I want to thank you all for joining me here just 2 weeks from an historic election here in Connecticut. It's an election that's historic for both our state and our country. And the eyes of the nation are on Connecticut, little old Connecticut. Who would have thought it? We got three congressional races that can potentially tilt the balance of U.S. Congress. And we have a Senate race that Dick Cheney and George Bush are paying special attention to. It's the most important, or one of the most important elections of our lifetime, and it's bigger than any of us. It's bigger than my campaign for the Senate or Joe's bid to hold on to power. It's bigger than the television ads we run, the sound bites we deliver, or the events we hold. It's about whether we're going to change our country by changing course in Iraq. We started something together just 1 year ago. We need to finish it together so our troops can come home, our families can heal, and our country can regain its power in all of its might. My family and I have spent the better part of a year crossing our state, back and forth, meeting with the people of Connecticut. You've taken us into your homes, your coffee shops, your schools, your union halls. You welcomed us in because you share our state's hopes and dreams for a better future. And we share your worries and concerns about the current course we're on. This is how great democracies behave. It's what great patriots do. Patriotism, said one statesman, is easy to understand in America. It means looking out for yourself by looking out for your country. And from the start, we've dedicated our campaign to that very basic principle. We're here to look out for our country and for Connecticut. To look out for our country and for Connecticut, we need real leadership, the kind of leadership which stands up and asks the tough questions, doesn't take no for an answer, and has the courage to sail against the political wind for the greater good of protecting you, the people of Connecticut, and our country. And that's not the type of leadership we've had in Washington over the last 6 years. President Bush and Vice President Cheney, they took us on a dangerous course at home and abroad. They put their own ideology ahead of the consensus and the bipartisanship that's kept our nation so strong for lo these many centuries. Instead of working for the common good, they divided us by their narrow beliefs and destructive policies. And when they pursued this course, we needed our leaders to have the courage to stand up and ask the tough questions, provide better solutions, protect this country. I got into this race not because we were asking too many questions, but because we were asking too few. And instead of asking the tough questions, Senator Lieberman rubber-stamped the president's rush to war. And instead of demanding real answers, Senator Lieberman repeated the presidential platitudes and even echoed Donald Rumsfeld, dismissing dissent and shunning members of his own party who sought a change of course. Iraq is the defining issue of our time, not a single issue, the defining issue. How we deal with Iraq will define who we are as a people, where we go as a nation, and what we want for our future. We're not talking about now, we're talking about for years to come. Do we want to continue to tolerate an administration that has put our country on a dangerously wrong track and a senator who serves as enabler in chief? Or do you want to restore accountability and responsibility to Washington with the help of a strong, effective, and independent-minded U.S. Senator from the state of Connecticut? Forty years ago, Senator J. William Fulbright, a giant of the Senate and a steadfast opponent of the war in Vietnam, he spoke out about the arrogance of power. 40 years later, too many in Washington have adopted that arrogance as their own, equating their power with their own virtue, never questioning their own decisions, never tolerating dissent, never accepting their own fallibility. The Bush administration misled the nation in the war. They overruled intelligence with ideology. They papered the public record with propaganda. They tried to silence their critics with attacks on their patriotism. Cocky about their power and careless with American lives, they were wrong about everything. When they could have relied on accurate instead of cherry-picked intelligence, they chose not to. They were wrong, and instead they sacrificed credibility at home and abroad. When they could have given the inspectors time to discover whether Saddam Hussein actually had weapons of mass destruction, they chose not to. And again, they were wrong. History will judge the invasion of Iraq as one of the greatest foreign policy disasters of all time. But the mistakes were not limited to the decision to invade. Unfortunately, that was just the start. When they could have listened to General Shinseki and put in enough troops to maintain order, they chose not to. They were wrong. When they could have learned from George Herbert Walker Bush, George the Elder, George the Wiser, and built a genuine global coalition, they chose not to, and they were wrong. When they could have protected American forces by guarding Saddam Hussein's ammo dumps, they chose not to. And now our soldiers are being killed and maimed by those bombs and bullets right out of that same depot. They were dangerously, dangerously wrong. When they could have imposed immediate order and structure in Baghdad after the fall of Saddam, Rumsfeld shrugged his shoulders and said Baghdad was safer than Washington, D.C., and he chose not to act, and he was wrong. When they should have leveled with the American people that the insurgency had grown, they chose not to. They were wrong. Vice President Cheney even claimed that the insurgency was in its last throes. He was wrong. Today, he says things in Iraq are going, quote, remarkably well. Where was Joe Lieberman during this long course of failure? He now says that he criticized them. I don't know about you, but I don't remember hearing any of that criticism. Was it just over a year ago, in fact, that he said, quote, Bush has it right in Iraq? And I don't know about you, but I didn't see any of that Lieberman bipartisanship change the course of our rush to war in Iraq or protect our troops. In fact, after all these mistakes, Senator Lieberman still accuses anyone who calls for a change of course in Iraq, a policy of defeat and retreat. And that's the problem with Joe. He just doesn't get it. Success in Iraq depends on the Iraqis taking responsibility for their own future. Joe Lieberman said recently that it's time to get tough with the Iraqis. But her version of getting tough is sitting down with the president of Iraq, a guy named Talabani, having what he said, quote, is a pleasant conversation, where they saluted the progress being made. Well, look, pleasant conversations don't cut it anymore, not when our troops are in the middle of a bloody civil war, not when this month is the deadliest month in the last 2 years, and this administration carries on as though war the same. The right reaction is outrage. Not Lieberman-style acceptance and apology, not more pleasant conversations. Iraq is Joe's war of choice, and he's been its strongest and staunchest supporter every step of the way. He wrote the resolution that started this war. He voted against every single measure that could bring it to an honorable end. And knowing what we know now, he'd still vote to send us to this war, regardless of whether or not Iraq had WMD. He has no regrets for getting us in. He has no plan for getting us out. And he has no time for the people of Connecticut who disagree. And in the greatest act of audacity of all, he is now asking Connecticut voters, not just for a fourth term, but to hold him harmless for his role in the most dangerous foreign policy blunder of our generation. He thinks that glossy ads and elective eve Nixonian declarations about wanting to end the war will convince the people of Connecticut that he doesn't share any responsibility for the disaster in Iraq or bear any responsibility for getting us out. In Joe's world, he's been a casual observer in Washington for all these years. But his record tells us otherwise. Connecticut must hold him accountable, not just for what he's done in the past, but what he's incapable of doing now. Joe Lieberman has been part of the problem in Washington. He's incapable of being part of the solution. So that's what this election is all about. This war has produced broken hearts, broken bodies at a tragic rate, but precious little reflection on what Iraq has done to our country and our democracy. Ask yourself these questions. What does it mean for our country when our leaders mislead the public about the reasons for this war, the costs of the war, whether our strategy is working? What does it mean for future generations when we're spending $2 billion a week in Iraq, but not securing our ports, nor protecting our cities? What does it mean to send our troops to war without the necessary body armor or a strategy for victory? What does it mean for our country when our government makes mistakes and our leaders won't fix them, won't admit to them, even as American lives are being lost? What does it mean for the people of Connecticut when, in the middle of an uncontrollable insurgency, a smoldering civil war, hundreds of thousands of Iraqis dead and wounded, 2,700 American dead, 20,000 wounded, and our senator declares, our troops must stay, and that, yes, we do have a strategy for victory? What is it? We haven't heard it. What does it mean for our future when our senator scolds courageous Americans for, quote, undermining presidential credibility? When all they're fighting for is a better policy to protect our troops and to provide better security, real security? It means that our leaders aren't working for us. They're working for themselves. It means our nation is divided at home and our country is less respected abroad. It means our nation gets diverted from its biggest challenges and disengaged from its greatest traditions. It means they're putting their own interests above the national interest. It means our nation and our democracy have been weakened. This is the Washington of George Bush and Joe Lieberman. It's the Washington they have defended together, the Washington they have protected together, and the Washington they will settle for if you give them a chance. It's their Washington, but it doesn't have to be ours. Elections are about choices, and make no mistake about it, Senator Lieberman and George Bush are trying to pretend we don't have a choice. Freudian slip. They want to pretend that suddenly they're for ending the war. But if they wanted to end the war, they should offer a plan to do just that. Instead, the president gave us a speech this week. He said he's never been for stay the course in Iraq, while also berating those who want to push for a change of policy in Iraq. Today, to appease his critics, President Bush is announcing his ninth shift in tactics, when what is needed is a wholesale change in strategy. Even White House Secretary Tony Snow said, there's nothing dramatically new about what's going on, other than the president will no longer use the phrase, stay the course. Simply changing talking points will not improve the situation in Iraq, and it will not make us any safer. Similarly, Senator Lieberman said he wants to bring the troops home now, but he continues to fail to offer any concrete plan for change, and he repeats those White House talking points against anybody who wants real change. 35 years ago, we heard exactly this type of rhetoric. We heard the very leaders that pushed us in the war in Vietnam tell us they wanted to bring the troops home. They said if we just gave them a little more time, they'd come up with a plan to get us out of that war. It was Richard Nixon, for instance, who told the country way back in 1969, he said, I want to end the war. And then pressed forward with Vietnam for 3 more years and 9,000 more dead lives. Senator Lieberman saying now, 2 weeks before an election, that he wants to end the war, that's about as credible as Richard Nixon was almost 40 years ago. Reasonable people can disagree about what to do in this situation, but most can agree on 3 things. 1, It's immoral for old men to send young Americans to fight and die in a conflict without any strategy for victory. And it's wrong to cheerlead for a failed plan that places our troops in jeopardy. And it's unacceptable that a candidate for a federal office would run for re-election without a real plan to bring our troops home. So in 2 weeks, you have a choice. We can vote for Senator Lieberman, stay on this failed course in Iraq, or we can vote for change. That's the choice for Connecticut, plain and simple. There's a reason why President Bush and Vice President Cheney have now made Senator Lieberman's re-election a recurring theme of their election year stump speech. It's not only because they like him, it's because they need him. In fact, what does Dick Cheney know about Joe's future votes that we don't know? Inquiring minds want to know. History shows us that our democracy can only succeed when the people believe that their government is acting in their interests and working to make a real difference in their lives. We need to start acting in the people's interests again, and that means fixing Iraq. That's only then can we start fixing our country. The Iraq war has hurt our national security, our standing in the world, and our defense against terrorism. 16 government intelligence agencies, the National Intelligence Estimate, you remember hearing about that? They said that our presence in Iraq is hurting our efforts in the war on terror. Colin Powell, who made the case for war himself, now says that staying the course isn't good enough because, quote, every course must have an end. James Baker, George the Elder's Secretary of State, he said we need to think about a change in course. The British Army General, one of the Coalition of the Willing, Sir Richard Dennett, he admitted just last week that our troops in Iraq exacerbate the security problems, making the situation worse. Republican senators across the board are saying that it's time for us to reassess the stay-the-course strategy. Recently, the president was quoted as saying that he would not withdraw from Iraq even if his dog was the only one left supporting him. And so the only question left is this. Who will be the world's last supporter of George Bush's failed policy in Iraq? His dog, Barney, or his good friend, Joe? Well, look, we can't afford to wait for an answer. There are too many American soldiers in harm's way to let Senator Lieberman and President Bush continue stubbornly, pridefully, digging in their heels on this war without end. There's too much damage being done to America's security to simply hope beyond hope that a president and his favorite senator finally come to their senses. But then, this is exactly why we have elections, because we don't have to wait. And it's the most basic level. Democracy means we the people, decide our own destiny. We have the power, no, we have the responsibility to change this country. And clearly, it's time to change course and time to change leadership. To fix Iraq, we need to hold the Iraqis' feet to the fire. They need to know the United States is not there forever. They must take responsibility for their own future. Only they can make the necessary political compromises. There's no military solution to this war. It's going to require political compromises. And the way to hold their feet to the fire, we begin to draw down our troops. Let them know we won't be there forever. So yesterday, alluding to the effort to get Iraqis to take responsibility for their government and their security, General Thurman said it best when he said, part of our problem is that we want this more than they do. We need to get people to stop worrying about self and start worrying about Iraq. And this is going to take national unity. We want this more than they do. We, the American troops there, fighting harder for a war that they're not willing to fight and defend for themselves. When I started this campaign, it was a lonely fight. And when I started raising my voice in opposition, there were a few amens and a couple of go-aheads echoing in response. But as the Iraq strategy has proved flawed, as more and more generals and foreign policy experts have spoken out, and as the situation has deteriorated to a terrible, terrible civil war, our nation knows the politicians in Washington made a mistake and that we pay for that every day. Now, virtually everyone but Joe Lieberman sees that we need to change course, have the Iraqis determine their own future, and move from involvement in a civil war to bolstering stability in the region. Iraqis will only stand up when our American troops begin to stand down. So this is how we end the war, and that's what I won't stop fighting for. I'm encouraged that a new consensus has emerged, and I'm thankful that Connecticut is strongly behind it. But Connecticut needs two United States senators who are behind it as well. And we can't change Iraq unless we change Washington. Americans are ready for real reforms, big changes, but we must send the Washington leaders with a commitment to make those changes. Leaders who have the courage to stand up and fight, even when it's not politically popular. And we have to send home those who don't, starting with Connecticut, starting with Senator Lieberman. November 7th will speak volumes about the future of America's leadership at home and America's leadership overseas. Are we happy with the way things are going, or do you want to try to do better? More secure future that puts your interests, not the interests of the politicians, first. When I look back on this campaign, I'll never forget why I entered it. I saw a war that was damaging our country and a senator who cheered it on. I sought my party's nomination so that Connecticut could have an alternative to a senator who has enthusiastically backed this president and vice president every step of the way. My vision of the United States is one of a strong nation, true to its values, able to admit mistakes, capable of leading the world to a better tomorrow. We have strayed from that vision, but we can send the message that we will restore the kind of leadership we can all be proud of. It's time for the people of Connecticut to seize our obligation, do our duty. The whole world is watching. We have an opportunity to restore traditional American values of sanity and strength in our foreign policy. Well, I've laid out my plan for Iraq. I have described how I would provide real security through strength, through good judgment, and return the United States to a role of real leadership in this world. I ask for your support. Please join me in sending a message the world will never forget. As great patriots, it's time for we look out for ourselves, and we do that by looking out for our country. November 7th, we can start by asking the tough questions again, the first one being, can't we do better? God bless you all. Thanks for being here. Thank you.